Well, good morning, everybody. Buenos dias, mi familia. Feliz Navidad. So happy that we could share this time together. I love that song. You're going to see it on Christmas Eve and as it's danced to in worship. And it says that there is a hope that every heart can have. And we're going to look at a passage today that tells us that God's glory is only as great as the hope you have. God's glory in this world is only as great as the hope you have. And how Jesus was, he came for that very purpose. And so everybody online, want to especially greet you. Glad you're watching this morning too. And I'm going to invite you to turn to the passage we've been looking at all service long, Luke chapter 2, as we reverence the word of God. And I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me right now, if you would, here and at home, if you would say this out loud as we read through this passage. And let's let the Lord, as we hear our own voice speaking God's word this morning, let's pray that we hear God's voice each individually. So would you read with me now? In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child, the Christ, wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Lord, there seem to be many reasons to be religious, but there is only one reason to know you. And that is to behold the glory of your love and the hope and the peace that you created us to live in. So I pray now that everyone who's watching online and everyone who is here this morning, that by your Spirit, we would know your glory in this time. Father, I don't have the ability to create that. Only you, by your Spirit and your word, can do that. So find our hearts open today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. If you noticed, that entire passage begins with glory and ends with glory in the highest heaven. Christmas is about knowing the glory of God, knowing the perfect love and justice and peace he wants to bring us. We're in a Christmas season where lots of people are excited about celebrating Jesus. And if truth be known, they're pretty excited about the gifts they're about to get in a few days, right? And it's great that that day we're going to get a lot of gifts, but we do know what's going to happen after Christmas Day and the giving of those gifts, don't we? That's right. 33% of them are going to be returned. Research tells us that 33% of the gifts given are going to be returned, of which clothing is the number one category. And believe it or not, guys, you're the biggest culprit. Men's shirts are the thing that gets returned the most likely because we've gained muscle and they've got the wrong size, right? Ladies' shoes, you're in the top five. And then teenagers, just so you feel good, just based on the sheer volume of the amount of video games that are purchased, that's in the top 10 as well. UPS gives January 3rd, they actually officially dub January 3rd National Return Day. Because up to that day, they will have returned 1.5 million items through UPS that very day. You see, these gifts are given, and we're not going to ask you to divulge if you are one of those people who returned the gifts, because the person that gave it to you might be right next to you, so we're going to leave that alone. But just the fact is, that's what happens. Well, believe it or not, the greatness of Christmas actually has a lot to do with the fact that every one of us return a gift one day. And we're going to look at that today. That gift return is actually a pretty important concept to understand why the gift of Jesus, which we're going to call the second gift, it's the greatest, but it's the second gift God gave us. Why understanding that we all have a gift to return one day makes the news of Jesus being born all the more glorious. So we're going to do that today. We've all heard that the good news, we've been focusing that Christmas is the announcement of the King of Heaven coming down to be with us. That's the word Christ. The King of Heaven's coming. And the gospel is actually a political term announcing the good news of a new reign. So when the angel says this, it's not a stretch to think that these angels have already heard the gospel. Oh yeah, I already heard that someone was coming that was going to make us all better. His name was Caesar Augustus, and believe you me, didn't make life better, made it worse. We're an oppressed people under his rule. Not so, yeah, don't tell me what I haven't heard already. I mean, I don't want to hear gospel again. But see, this angel says, no, there's a gospel coming. There's a new king coming, but here's why it's good news for you, third with your nighttime workers and you laborers. The shepherds were the rejected outcasts of civilized Jewish society. Here's why the news of this king's different for you. You want to know why? I've got proof that this king's different. I've got a sign for you that this king's different. See, this king is born in a smelly, filthy feeding trough. Yeah, you've heard before, good news is coming. You've heard, yeah, there's a king he's going to make. There's a new president. There's a new this. They're all going to make a life better. Yada, yada, yada. We heard it all before. Yeah, but I've got a sign for you that this is different. See, this king doesn't have silk sheets and pajamas. This king is born in a place you're very familiar with, very smelly place, a very messy place. He's born in a manger, and that's the sign, that's the proof that I'm telling you the truth. This is good news for you. Now, we all have our conceptions of what that manger first looked like. The truth was, there's no way it was wood. You didn't have wood unless you were super rich. And even when you're super rich, you probably still didn't use your wood for a manger. You got one hammered out in stone. So for all of those of you who say that your bed is hard as a rock, welcome to it. And this manger was not neat and clean. It was really more the concept of what we have in our house. I can get it out here. It's our dog's feeding dish. Fresh with little dog food right in it. Now, every Christmas, if you know us, we have a tradition that we do some of the newborns, and whoever's the youngest, I usually hold them. Obviously, on Christmas morning, remember, the Savior of the world came in that small little package. Well, of course, we're not going to do that under COVID. So I got a few pictures, and I asked this year that at least one of the parents would be part of it. And so wanted to make sure we got a little guy in there. So we asked Joel to show up in the picture with his dad, Stanley. And there's Michael with Greer. And there is Meredith with Clara. And you can tell even by their faces, boy, they love their little one, right? Can you ever imagine one of these little ones saying, oh yeah, there's some space in the dog dish. I think we'll lie him or her there. Can you imagine that? There's no way. Yet that is what the Father in heaven does. He lays his son in the feeding trough, in the place where the animals usually get their food. Now, we're tempted to think that that was kind of an accident. That's really not that important. It's like, no, actually, the angel told the shepherds, this was super intentional that you would find the King of Heaven in the feeding trough. This was not accidental and it wasn't meaningless. It was actually super intentional. It was actually a statement from God that this was different. We read in Luke 2, verse 1, that God so planned out every detail of where the son was going to be born that he put it in the heart and mind of the greatest, most powerful man on earth, Caesar Augustus, to have a census so that Micah chapter 5, verse 2 would be fulfilled, that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. So if God had the ability to use the most powerful man on earth to make sure Jesus was where he was supposed to be, I think God would have had the ability to make sure Jesus was born indoors next to a fire with the proper bed if he wanted that. But he didn't. You see, Jesus lying in the filthy feeding trough wasn't an accident or meaningless fact. It was God's purposeful sign about who this king was and what his mission was. This is exactly where God wanted the Savior to be born. Because the mission of this king was our mess. It was a sign, good news, not for all you people who have power and access and got it together and have the ability to make life right on your own. Nope, that's not good news for the rest of us. No, see, this king that is born, the proof that he's really good news for anybody, and you don't need some special privilege to get to him, is exactly where he was born. See, this king's message, mission, was our mess. That's his mission. And so Jesus was born exactly where he was going to live his life, and he was born where he was going to give his life, in the mess. Now, this is what Jesus said constantly throughout his ministry. In Luke chapter 5, he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And he began his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me as the Christ to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, not just physically, but emotionally, certainly spiritually. And the recovery of sight spiritually for the blind, to see the release of, lots of people are feeling this right now, oppressed. This king's mission was the very messy place we were living. It says in 1 John 4:10, how do we know what true love is? It is not that we have loved God. It is that he loved us and sent his son to give his life to pay for our sins. He came for the mess, so that's where he was born. Now, this is the part of the story where the returning gifts comes into play. Because if you don't understand where we are when Jesus is born here, then you don't understand why he was born here. You see, everyone in this room, we want life to be fair. Everyone in this room, everybody online this morning, you want to be loved. Well, where'd we get that from? We got it from the God who created us. He is perfect love. He is always just. He never violates either of those characteristics of his life. He is love, and he's the one who gave us the gift of life. Isaiah 42, verse, I think it's 5 or 6. The only reason you have breath and the only reason you have a spirit to be alive in this world is because God gave it to you. So the God who gave you and me the gift of life, and that's the first gift God ever gave you, he's also loving and just.
So that means, if I do a little simple math equation, that if the gift is from him, and if he's loving and just, then he had to make this life with the ability to choose. Because you don't force someone to love you. And that really wouldn't be fair. So the reason why we have evil, the reason why we have tragedy and brokenness, the reason why, if God loves us, why doesn't everything just work, is because of who he is. He gave you a gift. It's called life. And when he gave it to you, he did it in love and with justice. So that means you and I have a gift from God that we may do anything we like with. With the heart he gave us, we can love him or hate him. With the mind he gave us, we can choose to believe in his goodness or we can think he's not good. With the breath and energy that is his, we can choose to hurt those he loves and to selfishly use the gift of our body to even hurt ourselves. Why? Because God is love. Because God is always just and fair. And the Bible is pretty clear about the choice you and I make. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the glory of God, his perfect plan of love and justice. We've fallen short of this, and the Bible tells us, and you and I know it, that the very life he's given us, he keeps us alive every day, and we don't even think about him. And we don't even, take or leave it, God. That doesn't seem fair. To me. Does it seem fair to you? Doesn't seem very loving that the one who gave us the gift is the one we hardly acknowledge and often just choose not to follow. And I know better. Doesn't seem very fair. And yet, God loves us and cares for us. So there's an issue here. Because there's a day coming when you and I give that gift back. There's a day coming when the gift that is given is returned. It's called the day you and I pass. And on that day, we're going to give back to God what he gave us. And the question is, are we giving him back what he gave us? Because it wouldn't be fair to give him back less than he gave us. Certainly wouldn't be loving. I've used this analogy before. Hopefully my neighbors are going to be in the next service. My buddy Joey next door bought one of those super powerful lawn leaf blowers, right? Just blows small children out of the yard whenever you want. I mean, just really great, great. And, you know, it's got the fuel that I don't have, and he'll fill it up and give it to me and let me use it, and I'll get done in about a half hour. It would take me like 3 hours to do, right? And it's great. Like, I'm super thankful, and part of it being fair is I pay him the money to refuel because I don't got that fuel. I can't put it back in, so I give it to him and say, hey, man, I appreciate it. Well, you know, if Joey let me borrow that blower, and then I just ran out of fuel and decided to throw Kool-Aid in it, And afterwards, dropped the engine pack a few times on the ground and just messed it up. You know, I would not be giving back to him what he gave me. And I'm going to guess it might put a little strain on our relationship. Might cause a little break in our relationship. Because I have not been loving and just in handling what was given to me for a time. Now, I've got one solution. I can act like I don't have to bring it back. But we all know one day that day's coming. I'm going to have to give it back. What am I going to do in that moment? Well, got my other neighbors, Brian and Paola. Hopefully, they'll be in third today. And you know what? What if Brian said, hey, Sean, man, bought a new one. It's already fueled with the right stuff. Here you go. Just give it to Joey. I'll take the old one. Well, that's a very poor, limited analogy to what Jesus has done for us. You see, Jesus came and was given a perfect life, given a life that was created for and by God, and he lived a sinless life and never damaged it. And if you don't damage it, there's no death, so he didn't have to ever die. But you see, the life I had from God, I messed it up. And I certainly filled it with a lot of Kool-Aid of this world, not running on the right stuff. And what Jesus did for me is said, I'll tell you what, Sean. Here's my life. Let's give this one back to the Father, because that's fair. And I'll take yours. And that's what he did on the cross for you and I. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:24, it's appointed for men to die once. After that comes the judgment. What do you think's getting judged in that moment? This isn't what I gave you. You see, the scripture says that the reason we celebrate Christmas is, and I love this word here, if I can find it, because there we are. Joseph, son of King David, do not fear, take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, that's what this king came to do. He came to take our place. I think if I would think about it long enough, I would just say, that's amazing. But what the angels say is, that's glorious. A matter of fact, one angel tells everybody, hey, I've really got good news for you. Here's the proof that it's such good news. The King of heaven, the perfect one, the undefiled one, the perfect in purity and cleanliness, he is in the middle of a mess. And all of heaven sees that, and all of heaven has to respond, glory to God in the highest heaven. Now, I don't know what you think is the most glorious place you've ever been. You know, I've been on a beautiful spring night in D.C. I'm in New York City, Times Square. It's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. I've been, you know, to the Great Rift Valley of Ethiopia, flown over and seen them, been like, oh, my word. The blue of the Mediterranean, the hills of Peru. And all of them are glorious. And they're kind of like, wow, that kind of takes my breath away. Well, the Bible says the thing that all the angels look at and say, that takes my breath away, is that. God would do that. Could you imagine kind of St. Peter, you know, like you come up to heaven, he's like, hey, let me show you around. Man, we've got the pearly gates over here, some streets of gold. Now, over there, there it is. That's the throne room and the sun. That's glorious. Let me tell you, outside of him, you know the highest thing we just get blown away by that's in heaven? Let me show you this dog dish. Man, every time we get by, we just start praising God. Because we're like, did God really do that? Did he really do that? Did he give all he was so that people could be with him in heaven? That just makes you praise the Lord. And if you don't get the gift return, you don't get the gift of Christmas. This is a sign for you. It's the proof of good news. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven. It's the most glorious thing you can know. And we're just going to finish this morning remembering the greatness of the sign. that he was, in fact, the perfect one of heaven who the Father said, we can put him here. Because that's his mission. And so I'm going to ask you to stand and for Pastor Brian to come out, and we're just going to take a moment of worship. And if there is one religious bone in your body that thinks that it's your good news and your effort that brings you into heaven, you should stop and be amazed at God's glory this morning. That he is the one in perfect justice, never stopped being right and fair, in perfect love, never stopped loving us. The one who gave us life also gave us a way to return that life to the Father and have peace. And that's not just a moment in heaven. It's a moment you can have right now. Your life does not have to be neat and clean to be with the God who made you. Your life does not need to be neat and clean to have a future that's filled with the glory of God and the peace of God. You should think about the dog dish and think, that is good news for me. I'm glad God doesn't mind being there, because that's a sign to me that he doesn't mind being here either. It should make you praise God and say glory to God, even in the highest heaven. Grand Canyon, nothing compared to the manger. And what should make you feel the awe of God. And all you have to do, I need that last slide, please. All you have to do is pray this prayer. I'm not saying you're saying the formula. I'm just trying to give you some words. Dear Jesus, today I confess my sin and selfishness to you. You have given me life and perfect love, but I have chosen my own way and I have not loved you in return. Today I see the glory of your love and justice in sending Jesus as my Savior and King to enter into my mess and pay my price. I ask for your forgiveness and love to live in me again. And if you don't know how to say this last sentence here, boy, you're missing the goodness of God. Thanks for being born in my messy heart and life today. That's just good. So if you've never said that prayer, please make that your prayer today. God, come into my messy life. It's a mess. It ain't clean. It ain't neat. I don't think it smells very good. Nobody much wants to be there. But if you want to be there, I'd feel like I was in the highest heaven. Would you just bow your hearts with me this morning online? Would you receive King Jesus? Today we confess our sin and our selfishness to you. You've given us life and perfect love, but we have chosen our own way, and we have not loved you in return. Today we behold, we take hold of the glory of what you did on Christmas morning that would later was only a preview of what you would do on the cross. And we just say this morning, would you enter into our mess? How can we say thank you for paying the price? Thank you. In a brand new way, in the messiest spot that I've got, thank you for entering into my mess. Come with good news. Come with forgiveness. Come with the price already paid. That heaven is not far away from us this morning.